Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning, Sid Hartman. Turns 100 years old here on the Ides of March. Dave Lee with you. Good to be with you this afternoon. We got four more hours of Sid tributes and stories. This point of the day, I thought it'd be fun to bring in a number of folks that have worked for many years with Sid. Steve Murphy, longtime Peabody Award-winning newsman in our newsroom for many years. Sid, Steve, you worked with Sid for how many years?
34. And, you know, I did the math today, and I realized that Sid was 60 when I came here. He was 93 when I left. And my memory, because he came through the newsroom every day, Eric will tell you this, he never walked slowly. The guy was always in a hurry.
That's true.
Eric, how many years for you?
30 years.
Angster, get over here, because as long as we've talked about walking fast, Steve,
how many
years was Sidney?
32.
I was just listening to a tape of when you were – I was in for Dave Mona on a Sunday morning back in the early 90s. You were running it, and Sid was ripping your attire. It was very funny.
And he would be today.
But you have to tell the story, Steve, about when we were down in San Antonio in 97, you and I went down together with Ray at every stop when the Gophers were playing in the basketball. NCAA tournament. And
they won the Big Ten title that year, by the way, and I'm not taking my banner down.
In the Final Four. They were in the Final Four, in case you didn't know it. But you got to tell a story when we were down in San Antonio. Because Murph was just talking about how fast Sid was.
Oh, my. So Thursday night, the Gophers beat Clemson in double overtime. Very exciting. The next day, Friday, Dave, you and I have a morning show. Mm-hmm. And then there's supposed to be a shuttle taking press over to the Alamo Dome from downtown San Antonio, which is about a mile and a half.
Yeah, supposed to be.
Okay, well, the shuttle was not showing up, and Sid and I were waiting for it very patiently, because that's how Sid and I do things. And it wouldn't show up, so finally Sid says, the heck with it, we're walking. And so the two of us take off out of downtown San Antonio over to the Alamo Dome. Of course, it's about 90 degrees. It's hot. We get to the Alamo Dome. We get inside the air conditioning. We're sweaty. It's horrible. And I go and get Sid a glass of water, and we're both kind of taking a break. And as we're kind of getting ourselves cooled off, we see a golf cart with Bobby Jackson,
one of the stars of the team.
Absolutely. Here comes a golf cart, goes rolling past us, and Sid looks at me. He had to get Bobby Jackson. And so just like that, Sid takes off sprinting. He's 80-some years old now, right? Sprinting after the Bobby Jackson golf cart, yelling to him. Sid never ever slows down. He doesn't slow down now.
No. And he was in his late 80s, and he's running. And again, Murph, all the times I've been with him, if you walk somewhere, you're going to be the slowest walker if you're with him, because the guy – and there's something to longevity. Walking fast and longevity go hand in hand if you read some of these things our buddy Dan Buettner writes. He walks so fast, and I just laugh, because now a mile and a half in that heat at the Alamo Dome, and now he's running.
And now he's jogging after the golf cart.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Really,
And I did see him at the Vikings game here in December. And he was in, he had his walker going and he was down in the bowels and he was chasing after Zim after the Vikings game. And I tried to say hi to him, but he was on a mission. He was after Zim, and nothing was going to stop him. So it is incredible.
One of my favorite stories is when we were at the Metrodome, and it was Vikings-Packers. And they had, remember, the popcorn machine was at the back of the press box. So if you stood in the back by the popcorn machine, you couldn't see the whole field. In fact, you couldn't see much of it. You had to kind of go up further in the press box. So it's Sid, myself, Dark Star, and I think Maxie was there. So as the game was getting ready, we heard the PA guy go, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Bare Naked Ladies." And Sid shot to the front of the press box. I mean, honest to God, he was just up to the end of it. And I looked at Dark, and Dark looks at me and says, "You want to tell him or should I?" So I walk up behind. He's looking. He's just searching. I poke him on the shoulder and said, "It's a rock band." And he went, "Oh," and came back to the popcorn machine.
Well, I want to thank Sid for really helping me with my health just today.
What happened today?
Well, I thought I heard Lou Holtz say that Sid had never said an unkind word about anyone. Well, I called Starkey, and so I've got a hearing appointment tomorrow because that I couldn't have heard that.
Hey, welcome Bruce Hogovic on the line. Bruce is in Florida this morning, and Bruce, you worked with Sid how many years?
Well, every year I was there, you know, from 1973 until I left in 2012.
And Bruce, every Sunday, what did he try to do to you?
Well, many things. But
he tried to get you fired every Sunday.
Well, yeah, he tried to get me fired. He never quite accomplished that. He probably came close a couple times. I don't know what went on behind the scenes. But I got to say, you know, you guys had a lot of experience with Sid, you know, out in the field, chasing down athletes and so on and so forth. I was working Sunday mornings many of the years that I was at the station. And he would come in and do sports huddle, of course, and, most of those years. And he was, I got to say, he was a little bit more subdued when there weren't a lot of people around. You're right. Whenever he went anywhere, even during the week in the station, he marched down the hall at high speed. But Sunday mornings, especially in the later years when I was there, he kind of come in a little more subdued, a little more relaxed. But he'd always be looking for me to help him with something. I can remember several times when he'd come in and a little bit disheveled, even though he always dressed very smartly.
Yeah, all the time.
Great suits. Yep. All the time. Great suits, which I think he got from a suit shop, a men's shop on over on First Avenue that's no longer there.
Nate's.
In Minneapolis. Nate's, yeah. And so he tried to put his tie on, and he wouldn't have the collar, you know, all tucked down over the tie. So several times I'd tuck his collar down. Oh. It was quite a scene. Just me and Sid in the newsroom alone. And I'd be tucking his collar down over his necktie. And then I'd make some calls for him because in the later years when I was there, his hearing kind of diminished a little bit. Eric is saying his is. I didn't realize that. Yeah. But his hearing would diminish, so he'd have me make calls on the phone to make sure that guests are going to be ready to go on his show.
But, Bruce, tell everybody what his nickname was for you. You said he was a little subdued, yeah. But what did he call you when he came through the newsroom?
He called me Hogamike instead of Hogovic.
You know who gave him that name? I shouldn't tell you this.
Who gave me that?
I coined that, and then he loved it. And I said, "Are you talking about Hogamike?" And then, boy, he jumped all over it like a cheap suit.
Because he'd tell me, because I'd be out with Denny Long sometimes on Sunday mornings, and we'd chit-chat back and forth just like I used to do with Dave Lee. And he'd say, "Remember now, it's the Denny Long show. Don't jump in there and keep talking, Hogamike." He'd say, so that was for years he called me Bruce Hogamike. And it was in good fun. And I remember one time, two of us alone, and we had a lot of alone time on Sunday mornings, the two of us were standing in the mail room in the office area of the station. And I remember asking him, I said, "Sid, why are you always giving me kind of a rough time here?" And he said, and I always remember that, he said, "When I stop giving you a rough time, that's when you have to worry."
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot more to Sid than I think a lot of people realize. There was a kind heart there. I often thought that I was in big trouble especially when I was working at the station, that he'd be one of the first people I would call, and I was always confident that he would do what he could to help me out. I think he's that kind of a guy. That's the impression I've always had of him.
It's a quarter after three. Hang on, Bruce. Don't go anywhere. We've got to take a break. Sid's birthday, we're talking about some of his old friends right here on WCCO.
What are they, 13, and then they're 3 over 500?
Yes, sir.
And who expected that? Don't worry about that.
No, I don't hear anything.
They're playing great, great ball. One second.
Okay. Gonna help somebody with their baggage? Sid's lifting a suitcase right now as people are getting off the train.
Great, great ball.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, really good.
Can keep this up. They're gonna have their contender for the division.
You okay?
I mean, Cleveland's not playing. Hello. Cleveland's not playing that good. Detroit's up and down. Okay. The White Sox are terrible.
And you know, they say the golden age of radio is over.
He had the greatest alarm clock in the world, and that was it with the train. The train would go off on his alarm clock.
That was his alarm. That's what it was.
And he often would say to us, "There's no noise." So, okay, I don't hear anything. That was like every week, didn't it? The train went off, and people would call because they all wanted to buy that alarm clock. I don't know, have an idea where you got
it. You like my shirt?
You're still wearing your Sid t-shirt.
Very nice.
Now, this is one from the, I think, early 90s or late 80s. Amy Mousy was the promo director.
Yeah.
And this comes pre-stained with ketchup and French dressing. So it just shares the Sid dining experience.
Yeah. Sid would often tease about that himself. You know, how he would, everything would end
tell,
up
tell
in
about
time.
How he stuck you with dinner on New Year's Eve one year.
Oh, at Murray's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're so, forgot about that. So we're going to, Gophers were playing basketball that day. And he got done with the game, and he says, what are you going to do? The game was over like at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or something like that. I said, well, I was up this morning 2:30. I came over to the game, did the game. I said, now I'm taking my wife and daughter. We're going to go have something to eat over at, where are you going? I said, I was just going over here to the Big Ten when it was still open on camp in Dinkytown. I don't want to go there. I said, I don't believe I invited you. He says, we're not going to the Big Ten, okay? I said, well, Vecchio's then. We're not going to Vecchio's. I said, where are we going? And he said, we're going to Murray's. I said, Murray's has got their New Year's Eve dinner, and it's all sold out, and don't worry about it. So we went over to Murray's, and we had to sit in the bar because, you know, Tim, the whole place was sold out.
Sid's table was filled.
Yeah, Sid, and they do it in shifts. You know, there were like two or three different servings, and it was kind of a predetermined menu. So then we sat in the bar, and they brought out the predetermined menu, and, of course, Tim cooked food early for Sid and us. And he's looking at the menu. He says, what are you going to have? I says, I haven't eaten all day. I'm going to have a ribeye steak. You're going to have a ribeye steak? He says, you see the price of that? I said, yeah, I saw the price of it. He says, to my wife, what are you going to have? She says, I'm going to have the whatever it was, shrimp and salmon or whatever. And he says, you see how expensive that is, don't you? She said, yeah. And he turns to my daughter and says, what are you going to have? She says, I don't know. He says, you and I are going to have the shrimp cocktail. She says, that's the cheapest thing in the menu. So then the server comes over and says, what do you have? He says, give me the shrimp cocktail. Throw in some extra shrimp. So we get done with the meal. And as they're bringing the bill out, Sid looks at me and says, remember, Lee, it's a tax write-off for you. I said, you're the one that invited us to Murray's. But, yeah, so I forgot about that.
Well, and then you were in line at Indianapolis for a restaurant?
Yeah, at Palomino.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Well, that was a Final Four when the Gophers were in it, and we were at the Palomino, and there was a line. We got out of the ball game, and Sid and I usually hung out together, whether it was a Super Bowl, a Final Four, whatever. We were together a lot. And so we're going out to eat after the game, and Sid says, let's go to the Palomino. I said, there's a line out the door. I says, I can see the line. I said, but we're not going to get it. Don't worry about it, Lee. Come on, follow me. So I followed him. Line's way out. He walks past everybody. I said, I'm staying out here so no one, you know, gets angry at us. He says, I'll be right back. So he goes in. Place is packed. People are waiting. Kevin Costner is sitting in there. You know, all these stars are in there. Selleck and all these guys, and here comes Sid out 30 seconds later looking at me with his fingers saying, come on, Lee, let's go eat. And he's got this big smile on his face. He knew the manager. And he went in there and got us a place to eat. No one else could get in there.
So. Wow. That's it.
Yeah, he had connections, man.
And I've got, I don't know if I'm up. Am I up on the air? Okay.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. Just real quickly, another Murray story that I heard this secondhand, but this from somebody who knew. And they said that sometimes Sid would pull up in front of Murray's at midday when he's hungry for a noon sandwich. He would double park in front of Murray's, just leave his car double parked out there, go in, take a sandwich, not pay for it, and take off. So that's what I remember, too. This is back a few years ago. We always talk about Sid and his close personal friends. And sometimes in my early days, I wonder, if this is really true? Does he know all these big celebrities and so on? And I remember one day, this probably must have been in the 80s, around 1980, I would guess. George Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, big name, of course, owned the Yankees. I remember Sid coming up to the station with Steinbrenner, and instead of walking down the hall like he would normally do, he kind of circled through the newsroom so he could kind of show us that he was there with George Steinbrenner. And I could tell by the way they prodded each other, Sid and Steinbrenner, that they knew each other pretty well, because Steinbrenner was kidding Sid about his wallet being full of moths, because you never open your wallet to pay for lunch. So he did know people all over Minnesota and, of course, well beyond.
Well, you know,
well connected.
As long as you bring that up, Eric, remember we went to the Football Hall of Fame when Bud got inducted.
Yep.
And honestly, when we walked in, and for whoever doubted that Sid didn't have these close and personal friends, mm-hmm. they would have been found out right away that he did, in fact. Ray Nitschke comes running up to us. Tom Brookshire comes. I mean, they're coming up to Sid.
No, it was amazing.
It was really something.
Well, you remember with Steinbrenner, remember when Steinbrenner had a string of horses out of Canterbury?
Yes.
And Steinbrenner always got a lot of heat, like he was, you know, and instead of, well, people don't know all the good things that Steinbrenner done for people. So I think it was Dark Star and I came up with a bit where people didn't realize all the good that Steinbrenner's horse had done for people.
Yeah, he and George are buddies.
Oh, my God.
Because I think it was the first few months I was on the air, Charlie and Roger were gone. I was filling in for him, and Sid called and said, David, I'm sitting here with George Steinbrenner. Why don't you put him on with you? And they were in the car together. He picked him up at the airport.
Yeah.
And even when the Yankees were playing Atlanta in the World Series that one year, Inkster, and you were in here, and George called in. He wasn't talking to the New York media. And the New York Times had a piece in their paper. I think it was the New York Times that said, George will not talk to the media, but he talked to Sid. Mm-hmm. And he called every morning because they lost the first two games. And every time he called, they won. And they ended up winning the World Series. So he called the next morning. He was on like on their third game back home in New York. And the next day he calls, phone rings, and I pick it up. He says, David, I said, what? He says, I want to go in the Breakfast Club again. It was George. So I called Sid and I said, George is already on the phone. Wow. And every day he came on because of Sid was his good luck charm.
Yeah, he was a little superstitious. I figured that if he was on with Sid, he'd win.
Yeah.
I think Sid and the Steinbrenner had condos very near each other in Fort Lauderdale, down here in Florida. And Chad can confirm that. But I think for many years, it was they were almost neighbors at this condo complex in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, they're really good friends. And Sid really, he knew everybody he mentioned. I mean, it was impressive. And we'll talk a little bit more about his work ethic when we come back. It's 3:28 at WCCO, celebrating 100 years. It's Sid's birthday today.
Welcome back to the Sid Tenniel, presented by the Canopy Group.
Hi, it's R.T. Ryback, and I want to wish my close personal friend, Sid Hartman, a happy birthday.
Do you think that, what do you think he lost this year? $30 million? $25
million? He claims he didn't lose too much.
I was going to say $25 because he got the payroll down now that he didn't have Garnett to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't have Garnett and didn't have the...
gate receipts must mean nothing.
Trying to figure that out.
And have the lowest gate receipts in the history of sports.
They lost $25 million.
Sid might be right.
From his old TV show, there's a little bit of a Sid with Patrick and... Maxie. And George, and Dark.
Yeah, the Dark.
And, Maxie's TV show, that's right. So anyway, we're talking about Sid's 100th birthday, Murph.
Well, you mentioned Dark, and I have to tell you a story that I think Eric really enjoys as well, and it's the day that Sid stopped a funeral, and you were there too. And Eric's dear dad, Les, passed away about a dozen years ago, and Dark hired a limousine and a chauffeur to take about five or six of us up to the funeral. Mm-hmm. That's how highly he thought of you, Eric, as you know. That ride was, by the way, unforgettable, 2.5 hours. Angster, were you along for that too? I think you were.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I drove separately.
But that's one of Eric's close friends from the Capitol was with us.
That's right.
Scotty Magnuson.
Scotty Magnuson, yeah.
Learned some new language in that ride.
Yeah, he hasn't recovered.
So we get up there, and your dad was so popular, and the church, the Lutheran church, Kenwood Church, was filled. And we sat on the back pew, all of us, and I sat on the end. You had said to me on the way up, you get the assignment. I said, what's that? He said, you said you have to sit with Sid.
I did.
And so I sat on the, yeah, I sat on the aisle, and it was a lovely ceremony as far as funerals go. And it's the recessional. And your pastor, longtime family pastor, is leading the Escola family and friends out. And the recessional hymn is being sung. And he spots Sid on the way out and stops the recessional and reaches across me to shake his hand. Sid, thanks for coming.
Well, they posed for a picture, I think, while everybody was waiting in line.
They did.
Selfie.
But that was the impact Sid had on people, on your family pastor at a funeral.
That's a great story, Steve, and just kind of an addendum to that. I'm thinking that, and everybody knows this, all of us know this, that all you have to say is Sid. And that name registers with practically everybody in CCO land across Minnesota. You say Sid, they think Sid Hartman right away. He is so pervasive in the minds of people all across Minnesota after all these years on CCO radio and the Star Tribune. He really is an icon. And it's hard to come up with a better word than that. He's an icon. And this really is a great day for celebration for all of Minnesota. It's Sid's birthday, obviously, Sid Tenniel, but all of us should be proud and celebrate his 100 years. And this is a man who's not only reached 100 years, but he's still holding down two jobs at the newspaper and at CCO Radio.
Well, it's along those lines,
unbelievable.
Bruce, I remember when Roger Erickson got the Distinguished Alumni Award from the U of M.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And Sid, in just what Bruce is saying, an outpouring, Sid, you know, very sincerely said to Roger with deep conviction, where's my award? I've done more for the U than you ever did.
And he did.
And I got to say.
He did. It had a great passion for the U.
Yeah.
I got to say that a lot of people who I communicate with in Minnesota, around Minnesota, the name of Sid comes up even today, even though I've been gone for, 7-8 years, that people often ask me, what is Sid really like? They're curious what this man is like. And I think kind of what they see is what they get.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a heart in there that maybe a lot of people haven't seen over the years, because he can't be brusque. We know that. Very aggressive, very determined, lots of perseverance. But he's done it all with hard work. That's how he's gotten where he is. Nobody gave him anything. He got everything he's got through hard work.
Oh, yeah. One of the great trips we took, Bruce, one time was Sid, my wife, who he's very close with. And we were driving, we're going to dinner one night. Went to dinner a lot, but he took us through his old neighborhood, showed us the hospital he was born, the house he lived
cool.
in. It was awesome. It really was. Angster, you have a story from training camp, do you not? Biking training camp?
When you were driving Sid to...
I used to, you know, there are many years where I drove Sid down to Mankato for Vikings training camp. One evening, Sid and I were going to drive back, and in the parking lot, we got in a little parking lot fender bender. one of the Vikings players wasn't being very careful and plowed into us as we were getting ready, as we were pulling out to leave the parking lot there in Mankato. And so I got out of the car, and this player will remain nameless. He got ready to start reading me the riot act like it was my fault, you know, that he was a lousy driver. and then Sid got out of the car. And all of a sudden, this player's attitude changed dramatically. all of a sudden, instead of reading me the riot act, all of a sudden he was apologizing and backing up at, you know, about 50 miles an hour. And I will just say this, that it actually did, you know, show something about Sid. You know, Sid was very, very influential, you know, with the different sports teams, and still is. And this player, who remains who will remain nameless, understood that he was in. He was, the water was heating up. He was in. He was in a deep problems with, for his job with, with Sid unhappy with him. So.
Well, all joking aside, though, this career is never going to be duplicated.
I don't know how.
It won't be. And the fire still burns in him. He still wants the scoop.
Give an example. Incredible. Give an example of that. So when he was in his house after the surgery, post-surgery, just as P.J. Fleck was hired, P.J. Fleck hadn't given an interview yet. He had just been hired. And so I walk up that morning to see him. I drove over, and I'm walking up the stairways, and he's sitting there, and he's got this big smile on his face. So he's recuperating from that the surgery, as you recall, at, 97 or whatever it was, and from the broken hip.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk up to a big smile on his face, all dressed up, got suit and tie, which he always did, just sitting at home. And he says, "Guess who called me, Lee?" First thing out of his mouth, I said, "Who?" "P.J. Fleck, first call, right here. So at 97, he wanted to get the first interview, and he got it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still working as hard as he can.
And not only the sports reporting that we all know about so much, but all the business of sports. I mean, he was instrumental in bringing the Lakers here to Minnesota, the Minnesota Twins, the Timberwolves. He was very instrumental in getting things going with our sports stadiums in the Twin Cities. So he was involved on both sides of this, the games themselves and the business of sports.
Speaking of that, Eric, you were at the Capitol as Roger Goodell was pleading to build a stadium here. And you remember that?
Well, he was there, and he was maybe I would say more than an observer. I mean, he did a little work, missionary work, on behalf of the Vikings and the NFL with some of the lawmakers. And I know when Target Field was being – they had a very tough vote in the Senate to take, like the Saturday before the end of session, whatever year that was. And Sid was the only sports-related journalist there at 2 a.m. on an early Sunday morning. He was outside the chamber doing some gentle suasion to members of the Senate, just some very gentle prodding that they want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And it did pass, I think, by a couple votes.
All those mornings that he would storm through the newsroom, he would stop if there was a Pioneer Press sitting on our desk. And he would pick it up because he wanted to see if he'd been scooped, especially Charlie Walters.
By Shooter, yeah.
By Shooter. And you could tell from body language if he had been scooped because he'd crumple the paper and throw it on it. But
I sat at lunch one time.
Still competitive, like he was a Cub reporter,
Which is great.
Shooter and him, somehow Shooter won a bet with Sid, and Sid had to pay him $20, and Shooter said, no, give me two tens and autograph them.
Wow.
And Sid did. They were just, okay. I mean, they were having a good laugh over it. But competitive and work his rear end off. I mean, still today.
And look how early that his career in sports news business got started. I think he was 9 years old, right? Mm-hmm. When he started selling newspapers on Hennepin Avenue.
1929.
Yeah. Wow. Different era, very tough time. And he was selling newspapers, I think I heard once, for like 2 cents a copy. The Minneapolis paper at the time. 9 years old down there selling papers. That's how it all started.
Well,
I just have to say, we all have Sid as our favorite punchline. I mean, he's everybody's favorite foil. And Dave, you do such a fabulous job every state fair when you write Minnesota Hospital. And you have to insert Sid because he's the perfect punchline. Boone and Erickson did the same thing with all their routines on Dragnet. They needed a villain. It would be Sid. And here's what I wonder. And there was even a Sid sound-alike contest. Remember that?
Oh,
Rosen
great.
Sports.
Oh, yeah. I think fantastic.
Wasn't he a judge?
Oh, I think so.
And
it was funny.
My point is, what a good sport he is. Sure, he dishes it out. Sure, he deserves all of the stuff that we kid about. But he listens to this station religiously. He hears us tell him these stories. And I've never heard him complain. Hey, why do you guys always have to rag on me? Have you ever heard him complain?
Never once. He likes being part of the action.
Exactly, he does. And he there isn't a story we haven't told here that he hasn't heard us tell in front of him.
Yeah.
He enjoys that.
He might be the one guy to deliver Father Time his first loss. You thought about that?
Well, I am now, yeah.
I think he's already done that.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, And, of course, he told me not to go to CBS.
I remember that.
And he's reminded me about that constantly since he told me that. So I have that to thank him for that.
In addition to the Hogamite business, he used to razz me quite a bit in the more later years that I was at the station, because my wife was working in Miami-Dade schools in Miami, Florida, and we were commuting back and forth quite a bit. And this is kind of sensitive. And he was worried about us being apart too much. And when I told him that I'm going to retire, he seemed taken aback by that.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised. He because he'd been razzing me about it. He said, "You better get down there in Florida with your wife." And what had actually happened, he was very thoughtful about it. He didn't say much. He just kind of looked at me like he was a little bit surprised and wondering if he played a little role in that, because he'd been razzing me about it for, 5 years or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all a part of loyalty, I will say.
Oh,
that.
Very loyal.
If you were married, that was a big deal to him that you were loyal.
And, he was always great to me and helped my career quite a bit.
Yep.
And I don't know why he was nice to me, but we always hit it off well. And, whenever I go anywhere and they know that I worked at CCO, they ask, what about Sid? I mean, Bruce is totally right about that.
And one of his favorite lines when he'd come to the Christmas parties and he'd see us with our wives, "Must have been a dark night when you proposed."
Yeah.
It was like every time.
You must have met her in a dark alley.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you guys for coming in today and sharing some of these stories. And
a lot of fun.
And you all love the guy still.
Oh,
it's amazing.
So. Happy birthday to Sid.
Yes. Happy birthday, Sid.
Long may he run.
Angster, Eric, Murph. Bruce, appreciate that. We got much more. Darby Hendrickson's going to join us here in just a minute on WCC on Sid Tenniel.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.